Thank you, Ty. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Lift your hands. Whisper that name, Jesus. His presence is our greatest asset.
Like that woman of the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And now I hear my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never Charandra. Feel my top low, I lift it up low. Come and quell this testing of my soul. Bread of heaven,
Heal me till I want. Leperataya. Heal my cup. Fill it up. And let me. There is a breakout of his presence and power. That's a ever there.
Where my cup of. I need a plan. All my faith is tested
on my soul.
Bread of heaven,
heal me till I want.
Oh, heal my God. Fill it up
and make me whole.
Feel my cup, Lord.
I live in a flood.
But I'm quenched.
This testing of my soul. Bread of heaven. Heal me till I want.
No more. Feel my cup.
Anybody expecting a feeling, lift up your right hand.
My cup I lift it up. I'm a crab. It's testing my soul.
Pray in the spirit.
Something is happening. Something is happening. Mahashagadagala.
Fill it up and make me whole.
I want them all. Heal my God.
Fill it up and make me whole. Bread of heaven. Bread of heaven,
fill me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
In the name of Jesus, lift your hands everywhere you are. Something is happening. Power is breaking. In the name of Jesus. That's right. Lift your hands where you are. You can't live here empty. Maintain quietness where you are, where you can right now. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Bread of heaven, heal me till I want no more. Heal my car, heal it all, and make me whole. In the name of Jesus, lay the hands high. Maintain quietness if you can. Whispering that name, Jesus. And again. And again. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you for your move tonight. Even those watching across the airwaves around the world, something is breaking forth upon you where you are. A yoke is breaking, a chain is breaking. Blessed be your name. Take your seat.
Yeah.
First of all, we said face your front. Two, camp with God. Three, choose your company. Choose your friends. Choose your company. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'd like us to take note of four things, or three, by way of introduction. Our objective is to understand the place of company or relationship or association in perpetual impact in life and destiny. Note three things or four. Number one, who you walk with determines how long you last and how far you go in life. We said that at first. Who you walk with determines how long you last and how far you go in life. Number two, company is a critical determinant of destiny. Company is a critical determinant of destiny. And I say, you confirm your seriousness. You confirm the seriousness of your destiny by the cautiousness of your company. You confirm your seriousness regarding your destiny by your cautiousness regarding your company. That is, you are not serious about your future if you are not serious about who you call friend. You are not serious about your future if you are not serious about who you call friend. Why? It leads us to point number three. People make friends, then friends make people. You first make friends, then the friends turn around to make you. No, nothing about friendship leaves you neutral. And when I am talking about company in this regard, am not just going to be speaking about who is your contemporary. I am also going to be speaking about who you bring your life, the influence under which you have brought yourself. I am also going to be talking regarding who you might call a father, a pastor, a mentor, whatever, are over your life. It constitutes your company. Listen to this. So who you work with determines how long you last and how far you go in life. Company is critical determinant of destiny. And thirdly, you make friends, then friends make you. Now, if you want a solid destiny with perpetual impact and unending relevance, be careful with the following. If you want a solid destiny with perpetual impact and unending relevance, a destiny that is solid, impact that is perpetual, relevance that is unending, be careful about the following. Number one, who you spend your time with. You want a destiny that is solid, impact that is perpetual, relevance that is unending. Be careful with the following. One, who you spend your time with. Two, who you give your ears to. Who you give your ear to. Who you give your ears to. Who speaks into your life. Who you spend your time with. Who you give your ears to. Three, who you take your steps after. You want a destiny that is solid, impact that is perpetual, relevance that is unending. You need to be careful with who you spend your time with, who you give your ears to, who you take your steps after, who you are modeling yourself after. Number four, you need to be careful with who you share your dreams and visions with. Who you share your dreams and visions with. Who you discuss with where you are going in life. Because Joseph shared some dreams and it landed him somewhere. You need to be careful with who you share your dreams and visions with. And finally, you need to be careful with five, who you give your heart to. Who you give your heart to. Some young ladies gave their hearts to the wrong person. Some young men gave their hearts to the wrong person. Who you gave your heart to. Who you put your confidence in. Who you overtrust. Who you overconfide in. Someone said, be careful who you discuss your secrets with. Because a friend today might be a foe tomorrow. Choose your company. And we shall now look at the negative impacts of company on the lives of people in scripture. The negative impacts of company on the lives of people in scripture. And the first person I want to take is Samson and Delilah. Now, every time we talk Samson and Delilah, what comes to the minds of people is sin and evil. No, Delilah is not just all about immorality, and I'll tell you about that now. Now, look at Judges chapter 16, verse 15 to 19. Judges 16, 15 to 19. And she said unto him, how can you say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times. And you have not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart. and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. The man knew he was not like any other man, yet he played around fire. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. One of the saddest stories in scripture. But who is Delilah? Delilah is not just sinful company. Delilah, number one, is who you spend your time with. Almost everything I said before, who you spend your time with, man or woman that is an agent or that was sent to ruin your life, who you spend your time with. Second, Delilah is who you give your ears to. Third, Delilah is who you give your heart to. And fourthly, Delilah is who you reveal your secrets to. And I'm not talking about everybody you spend time with is a Delilah, no. Or everybody you gave your ears to, no. Or everybody you gave your heart to, no. Or who you reveal your secrets to, no. I am talking about the wrong person. The wrong person in your life that you are spending time with is a Delilah. The wrong person in your life that you are giving your ears to is a Delilah. The wrong person in your life that you are giving your heart to is a Delilah. The wrong person in your life that you are opening your mouth to reveal the inmost secrets of your life is a Delilah. And tonight, I pray that God will uproot every such person from your life. I'd like you to note the following about the voice you hear. Number one, the voice you hear determines the voice you have. The voice you hear determines the voice you will have. You can't have a voice that is louder than the voice you hear. You can't have a voice that is stronger than the voice you hear. Because input determines output. Intake determines outflow. Who speaks into your life affects the language of your mouth. You cannot have a speech that is audacious if you are spoken to continuously by a coward. You can't walk in authority hearing the voice of timidity. The voice you hear determines the voice you will have. See, when somebody says, I have a shoe for you, check the one he is wearing. He will tell you the kind of shoe you are going to get. The voice you have, determines the voice you will have. Number two, the voice you hear determines the force or the strength you will have. The voice you hear determines the strength or the force you will have. The Bible said in Job chapter 6 and in verse 25, he said, how forcible are right words. How forcible are right words. There are people who speak into your life, and the voice came to increase your strength, came to increase your energy. Like the conference you are seated here now. You return back to your city, the devil can't recognize you. And there are those who speak to your life and your strength disappears. That was what happened. Samson lost strength. The Bible said his strength left him. His encounter with Delilah was the destruction of his energy. There are people who have lost strength in ministry. They have lost strength of pursuit of their career, of their destiny, because of the voice they heard. There are people who degenerated from energy to lethargy because of the voice they have been hearing. The voice you hear determines the force of the strength you will have. Some voices come to deflate your strength, and some come to inflate your strength. Number three, the voice you hear determines the pressure you feel. The Bible said Delilah pressed him with her words. Pressed him daily with her words. Whether it is a positive pressure or a negative pressure, the voice you hear determines the pressure you feel. And I have this to say to somebody. If you remove certain voices or influences from your life, you will suddenly discover that certain pressures disappeared. There are people who say that there is a phone call that puts your life under pressure. There is an interaction that puts you under. I'm talking from experience. Experience of over 30 something years. I came to a point in my life where I deliberately disconnected myself from certain voices for years. I regained my peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? What is the use living a life under pressure as if you are forced to be connected to a certain relationship? There are influences you take yourself off, voices you disconnect from. Maybe it's a friend or something that your pressure disappeared. Peace arrived. Nothing is by force in this world except to go to heaven. No friendship is by force. No relationship is by force. That voice that is putting your life under pressure is a wrong voice for your life. That is giving you hypertension, giving you headache and migraine. That relationship, you have not yet married, yet you are under pressure. On your mask, get set, run. The voice you hear determines the pressure you feel. Number four, the voice you hear determines the quality of your life. Whether you are going to be lively or you are going to be deadly. Pardon the use of that word. The Bible said, it vexed Samson's soul unto death. It vexed Samson's soul unto death. There are voices that come to animate you, revive you, energize you, increase your life. And there are voices that pushes you, squeezes life out of you. That was what Delilah was doing to Samson. His soul was vexed unto death. Huh? I know of people who used to be very, very lively. Until a friend entered their life and that life disappeared. Hello? They used to be very, very lively, very exuberant, very positivistic, enthusiastic, optimistic, full of life. Just one individual entered their life and the life disappeared. Just they become a shadow of themselves. And the worst that can happen is when somebody is hooked into a marital relationship. Excited and yet energetic young man, all of a sudden becomes a shadow of himself. Excited, vibrant, energetic young lady, all of a sudden her life disappeared because she married a man. And unfortunately, we cannot say run away from the man, because that one is a fixed deposit. Am I speaking to somebody here? Please, I beg you. This life is not rehearsal, it's reality. You are not rehearsing for another life. We are in the reality now. Don't gamble with your life. Don't experiment with life. This is the reality of life. You don't want to endure life. You have to determine to enjoy life. Am I communicating at all? It's possible to live a heaven on earth. You are not permitted to pass through hell to end in heaven. You can pass through heaven to end in heaven. The voice you hear, number 5, determines the principles you uphold. There are voices that encourage you to uphold your life's principles, positive life's principles. And there are voices that encourage you unto compromise. It depends on who is speaking to you. I have never tasted alcohol before, and the person said, are you a man or you are a woman? How can you say you are a man and you have not tasted alcohol? Man, I mean, taste it, man. I want to get married as a virgin. In this world, Virgin Mary, go ahead. You need experience. Before you knew it, you hung around a voice that the principles you have never stolen money before is teaching you how to steal without being caught. There are voices that you are connected to. They will do everything possible to make sure you uphold your principles. And there are voices that you connect with, and they downplay what you stand for. They underrate what you uphold. And damn you, that was Samson. If they cut my hair, I'll be like another man. Is that all? Cut it. It doesn't mean anything. And the man was gone. The voice you hear determines the principle you uphold. That was number 5. Number 6. The voice you hear determines your profit or losses in life. It determines whether you are profiting or you are losing. For Samson, it was a transaction unto losses. There are voices that empty away the resources of your life. And there are voices that load you with deposits of life. Treasurable secrets of his heart disappeared in a day because of the wrong voice. What he has held, cherished, emptied out in one day. There are voices that make your life weighty because of what they brought. There are voices that make your life weightless. You lost weight. You lost weight in destiny because of what they came to take. Anybody hearing what I'm saying at all? That is why when people play with people and they think, oh, we are just friends. No. And the friend is changing your character already, conforming you to their own image. If it is the right image, it's not bad. But in the wrong one. Number 6. Is that number 6 now? 7. The voice you hear determines your vulnerability or safety in life. There are voices that expose your life to danger. And there are voices that bring protection and security to your life. What they told you, what they shared with you, what they discussed with you, if you followed it, damnation. And there are those voices that brought you succor, security, safety. Amnon listened to Jonadab. He didn't live to tell the story. He raped his sister Tamar. Absalom killed him. David listened to Jonathan. His life was preserved. When his father, Saul, Jonathan's father, was looking for David to kill him during one of the feasts, Jonathan advised David to escape. One was Jonadab, who advised Amnon that led to his death. Another was Jonathan, who advised David that led to his life. And there are two kinds of friends in this world. It is either a Jonathan or a Jonadab. Most times it's not, there's no middle point. Some may not have manifested. Am I communicating? There are voices that came to expose your nakedness. They want to make the naked you. And there are voices that came to cover you. That's why it is very, very important. That's why many did not read their journeys, because of who surrounded them. Number 8. The voice you hear can facilitate your rise to glory or your descent to shame. Either you rise up in glory or you descend in shame, depending on what you are hearing. When they cut Samson's hair, the hair is symbolic of glory. When they cut Samson's hair, that was glory that was disappearing. The association you keep can rob you of your glory and usher you into shame. There are people who came into your life to steal your glory and steal your star. It will never happen to you. Number 8. 9. The voice you hear can either enhance your vision or diminish your vision. In fact, destroy it. There are people in your life, your association with them sharpens your vision. I was talking with a man of God today. They have been in a daily revival for 4 years. I should preach in the anniversary. Every single day, service, Holy Ghost baptism. People are healed. People are delivered. There are those who will tell you, don't kill yourself. Now you kill Jesus. Somebody told us like that one day. My wife and I. He said he doesn't fast more than 3 days. Can you fast? You say 3 days, 7 days, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, 21 days. That was his statement. There are voices, they just kill your vision. They speak you comfortable into stagnation. Samson lost vision and physical sight because of who he hung around. His eyes was the first thing they went for. And finally, very, very sad, the voice you hear can cut short your life and destiny or prolong your life and impact. The voice you hear can either cut short your life and destiny or prolong your life and prolong your impact. Samson heard Delilah's voice. He died before time. He didn't finish his assignment. He died. Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus in the grave. He came out. You know, Jesus called Lazarus his friend. John chapter 11, verse 11. Our friend Lazarus. He was his friend. His friend spoke into him in the grave, jerked him back to life. The other one spoke death into Samson, and Samson died. You will not die before your time. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. heard the story of a young man carried a girl who is meant to be his friend and then drove his jeep to a filling station. Armed robbers arrived, shot him, I think drove away the car. And the lady went to the man's pocket to collect the balance of the dollars in his pocket before disappearing. Man was in his pool of blood. Those are the kind of people we have in this world. Your friend, your associate can either facilitate your longevity or orchestrate your calamity. You know, in this world, there are very, very wicked people. Even among pastors in ministry. There are those who can organize the crash of another. Either physically or otherwise. Just organize the crash. There are those who sit to say, how do we bring down this man? What can we do? You know, Delilah didn't send herself. You don't know? The men hired her. The men hired her. And they paid her. Even if you say Delilah, behind every Delilah there are men. If it is a Bible Delilah, a Bible defined Delilah. And the men arrived. He called them. He said, if it is today, he called them and said, I have succeeded. Though. And they arrived. She didn't look for them. They were together. They arrived and said, oh, you have done the job. Thank you. Am I communicating? You will not be cut short before your time. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. You are saying amen, say it like a believer. The voice you hear, that was lesson number 10, what we learned from Delilah and Samson. Let us go to our example number 2, Orpah and Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 14 to verse 18, I'm going to trust God for us to be as fast as possible and to be true very soon tonight. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You know the story of Ruth and Orpah. Destiny brought them together. Ruth and Orpah married the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, the two sons of Naomi. The boys died. Naomi was going to return back to her country. Ruth perceived destiny. Orpah did not perceive it. I like you to notice that the disappearance of Orpah from Ruth's life, from Naomi's life, was her disappearance from history. The last time you heard Orpah's name is this place. You will hear it again. Let me say 3 things. Number 1. In the agenda of God, destinies are interconnected. Interconnected. Archbishop Benson Idahosa's destiny was connected, or Bishop Oyedepo's destiny was connected to Archbishop Benson Idahosa. There was the interconnection of Archbishop Benson Idahosa to T.L. Osborne, and interconnected to trying to Christ for the nations was Gordon Lindsay, interconnected to the life of Gordon Lindsay, interconnected together all the way Kenneth Hagin and then Ora Robertson, just interconnected like that. Then Pastor Adeboye over on that side, interconnected like that. Such interconnection. Every time you say Paul, you will say Barnabas or you say Silas. Whenever you say Shadrach, you will say Meshach and Abednego. You will talk about Daniel. These people were hooked together. Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer. And they were lifted together. Interconnected destiny. That's the first thing I want you to know from this story. Upper did not know that. Two. The best thing that can happen to anyone is to identify and be found in the right company. You identify, you are found in the right company. There are those who miss road for a long time before they find their company, before they find who the real associate should be with their life. Before they find their pastor, before they find their church, before they find their company, a long time. Listen, destiny happens naturally in the right company. It happens naturally, effortlessly, in the right company, effortlessly. You find who you are to walk with in life and ministry and destiny. You find who is to be the influence over your life. It happens effortlessly. That's the third thing. Second thing. Results are cheap in the right company. And it takes God to identify the right company. It takes God. It doesn't happen by sentiments. It takes God. Listen, there are many things that look like it, but they are not it. Many look like it, but they are not it. Not everything inside the water is fish. Not everything crawling is a lizard. I think it was Coca-Cola that said, if it is not Coca-Cola, it is not the same as Coca-Cola. It may be something cola, this cola, that cola. By the time you taste it, you will know. That's how it is. In this journey of ministry and life. When the gold of the temple was taken by the Babylonians, it was replaced with bronze and silver. It wasn't the same thing. So, the best thing that can happen to anyone is to identify and be found in the right company. Finally, the worst thing that can happen to any life and destiny is to be disconnected from the right company. It's the worst thing. From the right company. Company. Disconnected from the right company will produce two results. Obscurity plus calamity. Disconnection from the right company. Obscurity plus calamity. You doubt me? Ask Lot. Lot came with Abraham. When God called Abraham, Abraham called Lot along with him, and Lot prospered as Abraham prospered. When Lot saw that he was a big boy, he decided to separate from Abraham. And once that happened, Lot disappeared into obscurity, and Lot ended in calamity. Whenever a life and destiny is disconnected from the right company, obscurity, calamity. I've lasted long enough in this journey of life and ministry to identify a couple of people that I knew, people on fire, people who, I mean, you looked at them, they had everything. And all of a sudden, maybe whatever reason, they are littered everywhere. You see, this man used to be worst thing. Orpah disappeared from history as she disconnected from Naomi. That shall never be your portion. And final example before we begin to draw the curtain is Paul and the people of Lystra. I preached this message on Sunday, and I want to, while preparing this again, I got moved to read this passage now. Acts of the Apostles chapter 14 verse 19 to 20. I am going to, let's start from verse 7. I am going to read it, and I want to, if you are able to just look up and see the reading of this passage. Start from verse 6. They were aware of it. Some people came to persecute them. And Paul and Silas fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Are you together? And Paul saw a man crippled from his mother's womb. He has never walked at Lystra. Keep moving. Paul spoke and perceived that the man had faith to be healed. And with a loud voice, he spoke. The man leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, performed unusual miracle, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods, these people are not people. The gods have come to us in the likeness of men. They call Barnabas Jupiter. In fact, these people are not people, they are planets. Jupiter is a planet. Mercury is another planet. And they call Paul Mercurius. These are not persons, these are planets. Because he was the chief speaker. I'd like you to follow me. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, he brought cow and brought other things to the gate to offer sacrifice to this god. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and ran among the people crying out, saying, sirs, why are you doing this thing now? We are men of like passions with you. We are preaching to you that you should turn away from these vanities. That's why we are here. And unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all the things that are therein, who in times past allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he has not left himself without witness, in that he does good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. With this says, it was difficult to restrain them from offering them sacrifice. Are you ready for the next blow? Stop there first. Before we move to verse 19. Have you followed so far? The whole city considered these people as gods. There was no doubt that the city was terrified. These are the kind of people that will be passing and people will lie down flat. In verse 18, then verse 19 happened. And there came Peter, certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded these people, who were about to sacrifice to their God until they carried stone and stoned the one who they called God. Until they confirmed that he has died. What kind of drama is this? Is he not a God again? Do you stone God to die suddenly like that? You just healed him, now you nail him. What happened? Some people came into town and they heard some voices. They just heard something. Strong conviction disappeared. Strong conviction died. Because they just got into certain association and had certain communication. You'll be wondering why a person is correct until what happened to this man. What changed his language? What changed his preaching? What changed his behavior? You don't understand what I'm talking about. This is a man who just said, this a whole city said, these are gods. Only one verse, everything changed. In verse 18, they were begging them not to offer sacrifice. In verse 19, they carried stone and stoned the god. Until he died and they pulled him out of the city. Please, you see, don't be overconfident of your conviction. For as long as you are not careful of your association. Don't be overconfident of your conviction. For as long as you are not careful about your association. The human nature makes it imperative that man can change anytime. If the influence is strong enough. Take your seat. This will explain to you why some people change behavior overnight after they got into certain connections, certain associations, certain relationships, and you are wondering what really went wrong. Where? Let's take it one by one. Number one, from this story, every conviction is at the mercy of man's association. Every conviction is at the mercy of man's association. And let me explain further. Strong conviction can give way to strong repulsion. By reason of wrong association. Strong conviction. The person is convinced. He is very, very persuaded. All of a sudden, this strong conviction gives way to strong repulsion. The person he loved with a passion just now, he hates the person with the same passion. Person who pastored him, raised him up, brought him up, becomes his sworn enemy. Number two, company affects consistency. It affects, there are people who lose consistency because they changed company. These were people that were so convinced about what they were convinced about. All of a sudden, some wrong company arrived and then consistency ended. There are people whose prayer lives have died. Because they got some friends that told them, Jesus has done all the fasting we should fast. He has done all the prayer we should pray. Jesus didn't do this, he didn't do that. Just relax and calm down. Consistency is at the company affects consistency. Hear this. Consistency of correct action disappears. In the presence of the wrong company. Consistency. The consistency of correct action disappears. In the presence of the wrong company. Oh yeah, you pray all the time, and then you do this and you do that. All of a sudden, you are now surrounded with the wrong person who does not believe in any of those things. Before you say praise the Lord, is gone. Thirdly, human character or behavior answers to human company or association. Human character or behavior answers to human company and association. It answers. You cannot be too strong for the influence around your life. You can't. If you don't bow now and the influence remains and it's the wrong influence, it's a matter of time. Human character, human behavior answers to human company and association. Hear this now. A nicely disposed, respectable, respectful person. Nicely disposed. Is respectable, has respect, and is respectful, respects people, can become a distasteful, despicable, disrespectful entity overnight by association with the wrong company. This is the nice, this is the good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, ma. Oh, I'm very sorry. Oh, this and that. Overnight. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Just respecting you for nothing. Who are you? And you are just wondering, what happened? There are some people, when they speak, you are actually hearing the voice of another person. They are major influencer. Hello? You are actually hearing the voice of another. The voice of their influencer. The voice of the person they hear. That is the voice you hear. Lift up your right hand and say after me, say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be the victim of the wrong company. I refuse. Is anybody getting anything here today? Is it an overload? Let's get to point number 4. Human nature is highly unreliable, especially in the face of the wrong association. Highly unreliable, especially in the face of the wrong association. And as we approach the end of the age with the plague of unfaithfulness, highly unreliable. You can't believe that somebody said this is a god, not a man. Let's worship them. Suddenly they carry stones. Abba, highly unreliable. Confidence in man is signature for frustration. Signature for frustration. We live in a generation of backstabbings and a generation of double deals, a generation of betrayals. Look at this. Young girl is in relationship with the man she wants to marry. And then she tells her friend the behavior of this man that she doesn't like. Then her friend records her discussion with her without her notice. And then takes the recording to the man. And then the man kicks her out and picks her friend. That's the world we live in. That is the reality of the world. That is the world we live in. It's a world of a plague of unreliability. Somebody comes to you and say, Pastor, I heard that the church is about to do so and so and so, and I'm aware that there are people you are dealing with now that are not doing well, and it will bring out all the things that the people are doing that are not correct, which is true. Then you say, okay, let me engage you since you're a better person. And he only came to deal with the church. Not a replay. It's a matter of, why is that man the only one eating? Let me push him out and take over. That's the kind of world we live in. To be surprised that human beings are unreliable is a surprise. Take your seat. The Bible says Jesus marveled at their unbelief. It is a marvel that he marveled. But now, what does that say to you? If unreliability is worsened by the wrong company, stay away. Am I communicating? If unreliableness is worsened by associating with the wrong crop of people, stay away. One pastor came here some time ago and he said, he was submitting under this commission. And he went to one of his friends who told him, "Who do you say you are submitting to?" He said, "Pastor so and so." He said, "Eh. Are you not around there? Is it? How many years now? What is your age now?" "Okay, what about him? What is his age?" "Can't you look for somebody that is older than that? As if it is traditional title." Even if it is traditional title, young men become Igwe too. The man disconnected into calamity. He was the one who returned and was telling me with his mouth. He said, "I'm so sorry, I just listened to somebody." It's not age, it's grace. It's not title, it's mantle. If a child that I gave birth to from my loins carries what I need, I will bow. I'm telling you the truth. That's my accent. If a child that I gave birth to myself has what I am in need of, I will bow. If the cup is golden and it is too proud that it is gold, let it serve itself water. But if it must get water from the copper tap and it's a golden cup, it must bow. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. That was point number 4. Watch your heart. Guard your heart. So that you don't become a victim of vulnerability to unreliability by the wrong company. You don't become a victim. Finally, your surrounding determines your survival. You can live long. You can last long. You can travel far. If you are surrounded with the right people. Your surrounding determines your survival. We learned that from Paul the Apostle. How that they stoned Paul. One set of people stoned him. Another set stood around him. In verse 20, the disciples stood round about Paul. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. He rose up. He came into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Who surrounds you determines what you can survive. We have said that over and over. Your surrounding determines your survival. Please choose your company. Somebody say, "I will face my front. I will camp with God. I will choose my company." Will you say it with audacity? "I will face my front. I will camp with God. I will choose my company." Why is it necessary to choose your company? We have said many things, but let me just give a summary. Number 1, the people of your life determines the progress and pace of your life. The progress and the pace of your life will be determined by the people of your life. You can move faster. You can progress more drastic if the right people are in your life. Number 2, the people of your life determines the principles of your life. The kind of life and character you will have is determined by the people of your life. The people of your life determines the progress and pace of your life. The people of your life determine the principles of your life. Number three, the people of your life determines the preservation of your life. Just now we saw that they surrounded Paul and he rose. Whether you are going to experience preservation or going to experience destruction is a function of the people of your life. Number four, the people of your life determines the power of your purpose and vision. How powerful you are going to pursue purpose, how powerful you are going to pursue vision is determined by the people around your life. There are those around you that makes it impossible for you to pursue vision and purpose. And there are those that makes it possible. It determines the power of your purpose and your vision. Finally, the people of your life determines the profit or value of your life and destiny. The profit or value of your life and destiny. How profitable is this life? How valuable is this life? Is determined by the people of your life. Determines the profit or the value of your life. Somebody say amen. Having preached like this, two things I will need to do and we close. Who is right company? I've said many things already, but who is right company? Number one, the one who has the right spiritual priorities - the God first mentality, just like yourself. The one who has the right spiritual priorities as you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not the one who will introduce you to native doctors. Not the one who will tell you heaven helps those who help themselves, which means you should go and look for charm. Spiritual priorities. Number two, the one who has similar passion a mission in life like you. Similar passion and mission in life. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, when I say similar passion and mission, I'm not saying similar profession. I'm not saying if you're a doctor, you cannot be the friend of God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that evangelism is your passion. I'm saying that touching lives is a passion. I am saying that you have a mission to change your world. You have a mission to revolutionize your generation. And this guy talks in the same line. Who is right company? Number three, the one with similar character content and quality principles of living. Character content, quality principles of living is a friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and in verse 33, he said, be not deceived. Evil communications, evil character corrupt good manners. The one with similar character content and similar and then quality principles of living. See, you don't drink alcohol at all. And your friend is a drunkard. Something is wrong. You believe in keeping yourself until you get married. The other person who is your friend doesn't believe so. Something is wrong. Is it that person you call friend has similar character content like what you have? Or has a character content you desire to become like? Who is your friend? Number four. The one with whom you are agreeable on most things in life. With whom you are agreeable. And it's scriptural How can two walk together except they be agreed? There are those who call themselves friends and all they are doing is quarreling all the time. Especially among ladies. See, myself and my friend had a very bad quarrel. It's just a permanent feature. They only agree to disagree. There is nothing they agree on. What a useless waste of life. How can two work together except they be agreed? I am not saying that 100% you and the person see exactly the same thing. There may be things that the person may explain to you that you didn't understand before and you get to understand after you talk. You are not seeing it the way they are seeing it. That's not what I'm talking about. But this one is a permanent antagonism. You literally agree on nothing. Just waste. It's a waste of life. Who is your friend? Number five. The one who is genuinely interested in your life. Genuinely interested in your life. Genuinely interested in your life. A man that should have friends must show himself friendly. Proverbs 18:24. He is friendly, is interested in your welfare. He is not intimidated by your success. Is not engaging you in competition. Even though human nature makes that to come up once in a while. But definitely interested in your life. Is not the person who is managing you or tolerating you. Don't hang around where they are managing you or tolerating. Hallelujah. Finally, who is your father or your pastor? Sister that is going at the back there, hold your peace so that you don't miss out on something you need to hear. You heard me? You are still moving? Oh, okay, all right. Possibly there's a pressure or something. Who is your spiritual father? Number one, the one God gave you as your father and pastor. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. He said, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You don't give yourself a pastor. God gives you. By any means, whether it's by revelation, by anything. Who is your pastor? Number two, the one in whose voice you hear God's voice. The one God passes through to speak to you most of the time. In his voice, you hear God's voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. I won't get into that. But God was using the voice of Eli to speak to Samuel. Until Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. The last time Samuel said, if you hear it again, tell him, speak Lord, thy servant hears. Who is your pastor? The one in whose voice you hear God's voice. Either in preaching like this, in revelations, in dreams, whatever. God uses him to talk to you. Who is your pastor? Number three, the one who carries your fire. Who stirs your potentials. Who makes the baby in your womb to leap. He carries your fire. He stirs your potentials. The things inside you boil by association. He makes the baby in your womb leap like Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1 verse 41, Elizabeth said, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped. The person that God sends over you, now that was Jesus that John the Baptist was responding to in the womb. Fellowshipping was going on in the womb. The one carries your fire, stirs your potentials, makes your baby to live. Number four, the one whose position is your destination. Where he is where you are going. That is where you are trusting God to go. His position is your destination. You are trying to find your road to where he is. And something tells you this person is there. Let him help me show the way. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. And they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they had been with the master. Where they are is where you are going. Number five. Who is your father or your pastor? The one whose content is your intent. His content is your intent. What he carries is what you want. He has deposits you desire to make withdrawals from. He is a carrier of graces you desire. He is a carrier of mantle like Elijah. I need a double portion of the spirit of the spirit that is upon you. 2 Kings chapter 2. From verse 10 all the way to verse 12. He said, if you have asked a half thing, if you see me when I'm taken, it's come upon you. And Elisha said, I pray you let a double portion of your spirit. His content is your intent. God placed in him certain deposits that you desire to make withdrawals from. And God does it so for his own purpose. God wants to use him to sharpen your life. And something inside your heart resonates. Number six, who is your father? The one with whom you have a spiritual connectivity. A spiritual connectivity. As in water, face, answer to face. So the heart of man answers to man. I think that will be Proverbs 27:16 thereabout. The one with whom you have a heart connectivity. The heart of man answers to man. Did you find it? Proverbs 27:6-19. As in water, face, answereth to face. So the heart of man. There is a heart connectivity. Like the umbilical connectivity between a mother and a child. Between a father and a child. Who is your father? Number six, seven, it is the one you are gladly willing to submit to. The one you are gladly willing. Follow me, Paul said, as I follow Christ. Gideon said, do as I do. Judges chapter 7 verse 17. Look at me, and as I do, so shall. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. The one whose instruction you are gladly willing to follow. The one you are gladly willing to submit to his principles. The one whose footsteps you want to follow. That can be your spiritual father. But the first thing is that God revealed them to you. And beloved brothers and sisters, when it happens well, results are drastic. Mentorship is not sponsorship. Your father is not who you are looking for money from. It may happen, but that is not, it's not sponsorship. There are those who think that mentorship is sponsorship. No, it's a wrong perspective. It's ancient perspective. And your father is not whom you are looking forward for a preaching engagement or a pulpit opportunity. That is not. It's somebody who God has raised to touch your life. It's a new day for you. Somebody blessed tonight. Say after me, I will face my front. I will camp with God. I will choose my association. Do you have 10 minutes of prayer? Can you afford 10 more minutes? Stand up on your feet. Okay, sit down first. Sit down first. You know, when you eat and you are very, very full, at times to stand is hard. I can understand. Mother, stand up with a shout of victory. Anybody beyond myself is blessed. And I think this download is necessary. Because they have kept us away from each other for too long. This download is necessary. Lift up your two hands and let's appreciate God. Let's worship Him. Honor Him. Adore Him.
Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Oh, Lord. Something new. Do something new.
I told you to give me 10 minutes. 1 minute is gone, remaining 9. And that 9 minutes on the dot, I'll be stopping. So please hold on.
Something new in my life. Oh.
Lift your voice and say,
do something new
in my life. Something new in my life. Something new
in my life. Oh.
Do something new in my life. Something new in my life. Something new in my life. Two more times. Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, say it louder, say, Father, I thank you for your word to me tonight. I appreciate you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, I receive the grace to choose my company. I receive the grace to be in the correct spiritual climate. Under the correct spiritual covering. I receive that grace tonight in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and speak. Sensing that I need to pray for a disconnection of some people from certain wrong attachments, things that connections, associations, and things you are not even aware of, a disconnection, a breaking off, and then a connection, an alliance with the right people of your life. There are those, all the kind of employees and the kind of workforce that are under you are all the wrong people. Father, break every wrong connection and connect me with every correct connection. Are you doing that? Lift your voice and say, Father, out of my life, I am asking tonight,
that you will break
every wrong connection,
every wrong association,
every wrong relationship.
Father,
I'm bringing to my life the right association,
the
correct relationship.
I receive
now.
Open your mouth and pray.
Lift up your hands. I'll ask him to lay his hands on you tonight. While this is going on, if you are here, you need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need your sins forgiven. That's the most crucial thing that can happen to you tonight. Carry your Bibles and your bags and quickly rush to the front here. Quickly rush to the front here. There is a new book that is here. I wanted to let you know. This is titled Wisdom for Distinction. And this is Supernatural Secrets. Six Supernatural Secrets to Unquestionable Stardom. I don't know if the ICT can have it on the screen right there. And it's there. And it has to do with, there is a little portion of what I have just talked about tonight. How to reach where you are meant to reach in life. First of all, you have to know your purpose. And then know your potential. And know your place. Know your prophet. Know your principles and then know your price to take you to where you need to go. That is that. You already have these 21 foolish things people do. Principal secrets of principal people. And then 30 secrets to the top. Explosively be wise and rise. I believe that it will impact somebody in a very unusual way in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Now lift up your two hands. Those who are coming forward here tonight, quickly come forward. You are surrendering your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate yourself to God. Quickly come forward. Lift your two hands. Say, Father, lay your hands upon me.
Metumakagi. Eze. Metumakagi. Metu makagi, akagi. Please don't let me go. The way I came today, touch me with your hand. Oh Lord, please don't let me go. Ashabaya, the way I came today. Your hands. Oh,
lift your hands. Say after me, say, Father, I receive the touch of your hands. From the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, I receive the touch of your hands to break from my life every wrong association and to bring into my life the right connection. I receive your hand now. Lift it at a count of three. You place it on your head and scream, I receive. Father, let it be. In the name of Jesus. One. Two. Now help out there. Two. Now when I say three, you place it on your head and scream, I receive at the top of your voice. Again, one. Two. And three. Receive.
Jesus' name.
Lift up your two hands. Those in the front, step forward a bit. If you are here for the first time and you have not been here before, please step forward. Tomorrow morning is 9 a.m. in the morning, explosive time. Is it 9 a.m., right? And then tomorrow evening is 5:30 p.m. By tomorrow evening, there will be an explosion. I'm just wondering whether we're going to have a Saturday. I don't know, but come with a bottle of oil tomorrow evening. Let's have an anointing version. The kind of impartation we used to have on Friday morning, let's have it Friday evening tomorrow with bottles of oil. And let's trust God that it will be an oil of perpetual relevance, oil of unending impact. And where the enemy had arrested your life and your destiny, that agenda will be broken. So you come with that bottle of oil later in the evening. If you are watching on the air, you try and be here for tomorrow evening. Lift up your two hands, everyone, everywhere. And if you are here for the first time, join us. Please help me pick somebody from the roadside. Don't let anybody remain stranded there, please. God bless you. Go home with a full vehicle and assist somebody to go their direction, because very soon their level will change and they will come with their own vehicles. And in the name that is above every name, I declare your release in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you. This night shall be a night of prophetic encounters, divine visitation. The hand of God shall be heavy upon you. The move of God shall be strong upon you. The help of God shall be strong upon you. In the name of Jesus, go forth and bring forth. The purpose of God be fulfilled. The agenda of God be fulfilled. The intention of God be fulfilled. The program of God for your life be fulfilled. As you go, receive the grace to face your front. Receive the grace to camp with God. Receive the grace to choose your friends. In the name of Jesus. And say after me, say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to face my front. I receive the grace to camp with God. I receive the grace to choose my friends. So shall it be. Go forth and return back with your testimonies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. This year is our year of what? Supernatural shift. And how is it? It is drastic, it's dramatic, it's dimensional. God bless you. See you tomorrow, 9 a.m., and then 9:30 p.m.